Forget saving for 40 years and earning a measly 8% in mutual funds. That's the slow lane. If you're tired of waiting decades to build wealth, I'm about to show you a way to 5x your wealth in just 5 years with only 5 steps. Now, you heard that right. I'm talking about 5x in 5 years. So in this video, I'm gonna break down why you only have 5 years to make as much money as you can, why you can at least 5x, but you could also see maybe 10, 20, or even 50x growth. And then, of course, most importantly, the 5 steps you need to take today to start multiplying your wealth fast. Now, this isn't about playing it safe. It's not about following outdated advice, because if you didn't realize that old advice, it didn't work for the boomers. And it's certainly not gonna work for you, as we're now in the technological age. So if you wanna amplify your financial future and get back on track, let's dive in. Now, real quick, before we jump in, if you're new to the channel, my name is Mark Moss. I've been investing now through 4 economic cycles, booms and busts. Starting in the mid-90s in the internet cycle, the dot-com boom and bust, the 08 great financial crash, the pandemic, of course, more smaller ones along the way. I've built 7 companies that have done over 7 figures inside of 12 months during this time, including 2 high-value exits. For the last decade, I've been a VC tech investor. And from 2016 to 2019, I wrote a cryptocurrency research newsletter, and I personally turned a $100,000 portfolio into almost $5 million in that time frame, which is about a 20x return. And today, I'm a partner at a leading tech VC hedge fund. And if you want to know the research that we're looking at and we're investing our funds money into, then grab a notepad and let's go. All right, we're going to jump right into this because I got a lot to show you today. So we're going to talk about why 5 years, first of all. Number two, why do I think you can make 5X, and I should say at least 5X? And then, of course, we'll talk about what are the practical 5 steps you should be doing. Let's dive in. First of all, why 5 years? Why are we coming up with 5 years? And the first thing you have to understand is something I call the monetary codex. If you watch my channel regularly, then you hear me talking about this. I've done entire live presentations on the monetary codex. And to break it down really quickly, it's a cipher, if you will, a codex, right? It's a way to decipher the movements of money. And if you can understand how money flows, you can understand what happens with assets. Now, the first thing you have to understand the monetary codex, is that we're in a debt-based monetary system. So the money always has to continue to grow, the money supply, the debt has to continue to grow. It can't get extinguished. Now, how do I know this, and why do I say it so matter-of-factly? Well, one, that's just how the system works. But let me show you the data behind this. So this is since 2015, this is global debt, right? So the debt gets bigger, bigger, bigger. We need more debt to pay off the old debt, like a Ponzi scheme. So we can see that it's gotten bigger. And right now we are over $300 trillion of debt in the world today. But the problem is that while we have $300 trillion of debt, that's a problem on its own. The bigger problem is that if you look at all the assets in the world, we have this right here, which is what we call broad money. That's the money we have to pay the debt. Surprise, surprise, we don't have anywhere near enough. We have about $80 trillion of debt to back the $80 trillion of money to back the $300 trillion of debt. That's why we have to get more debt to pay off the existing debt, besides just the Ponzi scheme. Now, I've talked about this quite extensively. I'm not going to go deep into it, but we know that currently when we look at all the debt in the world, there's maturations, right? So a car loan might be 5 or 6 years. A house loan might be in the US 30 years. Business loans are different, right? But we know about 75% of the debt in the world right now has a maturity of between 1 and 5 years. So when you average it out, you get about a 4-year range within this debt. So about 75% of the debt at $300 trillion is getting rolled over, refinanced, about every 4 years. Now, that 4-year cycle, as we talk about, becomes very dependable, and it started because of 2008 when the whole world got synced up on a period. So 2008 plus 4 years, do the math, 12, 16, 20, 24. And it starts to look like this. These dotted blue lines show you the cycle. And this white line overlaid with it is this global money, the global liquidity supply. And you can see that we are turning up right on pace. And you have to understand in these cycles, there's 4 phases. We have like a spring, summer, winter, fall, if you will. We have the cycle where it's turning down, the cycle where it's bottoming, the cycle where it's coming back up, and the cycle where it's peaking. So it's key to understand these 4-year cycles and specifically where we're at in these four-year cycles. And it's not just the debt cycles that are in sync, it's also the business cycle. So this is an ISM, which sort of measures this, and you can see four-year cycle, four-year cycle, four-year cycle, four-year cycle, each corresponding with a downturn in the economy and a downturn in the market. That's exactly how this monetary codex works. Now, to show you a chart so you can see it better in the markets, this is the global liquidity, the money supply that's buoying the assets up. And I've color-coded it for each year. And you can see, actually, this chart's from Real Vision. Shout out to Real Vision. I've taken their chart. But you can see that it goes up for 3 years, and then we have this one down year in the blue year. I'll put a red arrow there for you. And then we go up again, and then we have one down year, and we go up again and a down year. And if you're like an elementary kid and you're looking at patterns, what do you think comes next? Well, probably a couple good years and then a down year. Now, I just want to point out super quick here, we'll come back to this, but did you notice that I sort of drew a straight line, not perfectly straight, but kind of straight, but did you notice these are not perfectly straight? We'll come back to this about how we can use this to our advantage, but of course, nothing goes up and down a straight line, which is why it's important to zoom out and why I'm talking about five-year cycles, not telling you what's going to happen next month. Frankly, I don't care. The next month doesn't matter to me. Think in terms of 5 years. Think in terms of decades. Your whole life will change. Okay, so now that you sort of understand the monetary codex and why five-year cycles, the next part of the question is, why is there only 5 years left, though? I said that we have about 5 years to make as much money as we can. What happens after? The chart that you just showed me, Mark, the repeating cycle, does that stop? Well, maybe it does. So the thing that we have to understand is that, again, the world's changing. We've gone from an industrial age to the information age and now into a technological age. And what's happening is we're seeing new technologies like AI and technology disrupting things at the most rapid rate that we've ever seen in history. Now, we have a precedent for this. We can look back for other times when technology has disrupted the economy and the markets and what happens. I'm going to show you a couple of charts on that. But let's just think through this for a minute. In the information age, our problems change. At the end of the day, the only reason why you make money, a business makes money, is if you solve somebody's problem. And the old problem was that we couldn't get information. It's not a problem today. Now all the information is readily available. Now the problem is, how do we discern the information? And so we've seen specialists. So we have like a doctor who goes and studies specialty information, or an attorney who studies specialty information. And because that specialty information is scarce, then we're willing to pay for that. The law of supply and demand. There's not enough specialty information for the demand that's provided. So attorneys make a lot of money. Now, what happens when we no longer have a scarcity of knowledge anymore? Then what happens? So for example, we have ChatGPT. Now ChatGPT is pretty smart. It's smarter than the average human. It's about 100 IQ, but that's across every single domain in the world at the same time. So now I can use it to act as my attorney. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, I dumped the legal contract in there I had to sign. I said, hey, you're acting as my legal consult. I couldn't say attorney to ChatGPT, but you're my legal consultant. What questions should I be worried about? What should I? And then I started interacting with it, right? And so I didn't have to go pay an attorney for that. So what happens with that? But we have something even bigger coming down the pipeline. And what's this? If you haven't seen, we have the rise of these AI agents now. These are bots that we can build, robots that we can build to have their own autonomous functions. So we can train it to do a set of things. Now, I put an example of Waymo right here. If you haven't seen these are autonomous taxis. What happens when we have robots, autonomous taxis, powered by AI, and they have their own wallets powered by Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies? Then what happens? So imagine a world where currently I go hire people to write copy and build a website and launch a Facebook campaign for me. Each one of those people are technically agents of my business. But what happens when all of those agents become ChatGPT AI-powered agents? And what happens when agents start hiring other agents? Probably within a year, ChatGPT version 5, we'll see an agent go, I could tell my agent, hey, what is the best performing business in the world right now? I could categorize them based off what I want and go duplicate that for me. And it can go hire other agents to build those things out. What happens at that point? How does that disrupt society? Well, we don't really know, but we have a couple ideas based off of history. And that's why I've shown this going to 2030, but we don't know what happens after that. I think that's the point when we'll have reached this technology cycle. I'm going to show you cycles why. But what am I talking about, sort of this historical precedence? Well, we have right here this technology shock. So this is what happened when cars were introduced, and this is what happened to the horses. Now, this article came out a few months ago. I've referenced it before, but this time were the horses. What happens now as we're the horses and technology displaces this? Well, again, we have charts that tell us this. So this chart right here goes back to the year 2000. What was the year 2000? That was when the internet came out, the dot-com boom, right? And two things actually happened here that we have to pay attention to. Number one, we had the rise of the internet. The rise of the internet allowed us to become more efficient. We had data and information at our fingertips. It also allowed us to get more people from around the world working on our problems, number one. Number two, it's when China entered the World Trade Organization. And it's when jobs started going in mass over to Asia. And that also increased efficiency. It lowered the production costs of goods, which is great for some people. But look what happened to employment. This is a chart showing all employees in manufacturing. And you can see it plunged. So when we have new technologies, it displaces a lot of workers. Like this. Now, I'm not some Luddite who thinks that it's going to get rid of human need at all. I don't believe that. In the Industrial Revolution in the late 1700s, all of a sudden a machine could do the work of 5,000 men. But what do those 5,000 men go do? Turns out higher value things like science and medicine and things that we need. But what happens in the meantime while they're displaced and they're trying to relearn new skills? And this is what we have. And that's why I'm saying we have about 5 years left, because we don't know what's on the other side. And this technology is scaling so rapidly that it's going to completely disrupt the economy and the markets as we know it today. And making money in the future could become very difficult. Now, again, we're going to be okay, but how do we get through that gap? I did an interview recently with my friend Raoul Paul from Real Vision. And we share a lot of similarities in the way that we view the world. We had a really good conversation. I'll link to the conversation down below. But let's play this clip of our conversation right here.
And everybody knows they're screwed right now. They can't get up the ladder. That, you know, like your kids, it's like how they're ever going to buy a house, yeah. Right? So they're going to have to either be genius entrepreneurs and take huge amounts of risk with their entire thing, fine, but it may not suit them. Or they're going to have to make some investments that make up for that gap. There's no other way around it without being poorer than you were.
Okay, so you can hear what he said, right? This is going to change things so much, we don't know what's on the other side. We know historical precedents of what happens. And he said, because of the disruption we'll have, that the only way to make enough money to actually buy a house or a car or a vacation in the future is going to be either, number one, you're going to have to be an incredible entrepreneur. Sam Altman said, the founder of OpenAI, said that with these tools, we might see the first one-person billion-dollar business. So you have to be an incredible entrepreneur like that. Or number two, you're going to have to be an incredible investor. Now, some of you may not be ready for the entrepreneur world, but we can all be an investor, and we're going to talk about that. Now, real quick, if you want to watch this full video, I'm going to link it down below. I also want to say that next week, I'm going to be holding a live presentation for about an hour. I'm going to go through this entire thesis, and I'm going to give you the assets, specific names of assets that I'm buying right now that you might want to buy as well to get you through these next 5 years. If you want to be the incredible investor like Raoul's talking about, you probably want to find out what we're talking about next week. It's all free. You can come hang out live. You can ask me all the questions that you want live. We'll go through the cycles. Like I said, specific assets that I'm buying, how you can put them into portfolio, so much more. There's a link down below. Like I said, it's free. Recommend you come hang out, but let's just keep going. Okay, so if we want to know now, we talked about why 5 years? We broke that down. But what's this path that we expect? Why would we expect to 5X our portfolio? We know 5 years, but where do we get this 5X number from? Well, would you believe me if I said that's actually the conservative low side of the number? As I said in the intro, in 2016, 2019, when I wrote the crypto newsletter, I 20X'd my portfolio. And so 5X is probably conservative, but let's go with that. So first thing you have to understand is this quantum wave. It's something I've been talking about for over 4 years now at this point. And this quantum wave is basically a technology cycle that happens every 50 years, and it's a quantum leap forward. So everything changes about every 50 years. There's been five, and we're now witnessing the sixth quantum leap right now. So the first thing you have to understand is that. And you have to understand that during that time period, during that time period, the only place to really be an investor is in that cycle. So all the money's been made in this last 50 years by Bezos and Gates and those types of people, computers, telecom, internet, right? Before that, the only place to make money and invest would have been in cars, Ford, GM, GE, things like that. Before that, the 50-year cycle before that, the only place to invest would have been in steel or oil or whatever. So you start to get the picture. So this is out. What's the next 50-year period? The next thing you have to understand is that these 50-year periods, these quantum leaps, as I call them, these quantum wave cycles, they happen very predictably. They happen in four distinct phases: eruption, frenzy, synergy, and maturity. All right, we understand that. It uses something called an S-curve, right? That's the diffusion of innovation. And then we have to understand that during these four phases, this is the key part, you didn't miss out on the first phase. We're going into the second phase right now, but the majority of the growth, the majority of the money being made, happens in the second phase. And I put this red arrow here. We are right here, right now. So we have the bulk of the money to be made in front of us right now. So to sum this up, 5 years, because technology is happening so fast, we don't know what's on the other side of it. Why 5X? Because the way this technology rolls out in a very predictable pattern, the sixth wave now, we can see the bulk of the money to be made is here. Now, how do we know how much money we can make? Well, let's just look at a couple assets. So in these quantum waves, it's not one new technology, it's a cluster of technologies. How do these different technologies work together? The sum of the parts are greater than the individual ones. And so what we're really seeing is Bitcoin, decentralization, cryptocurrencies, and we're seeing AI, artificial intelligence, robots, all that coming together to create this world, sort of framing up what I just talked about. Let's look at Bitcoin for a second first. So this is the Bitcoin chart since 2011. And yes, for all you haters, it's very volatile. It goes up and down, and it goes up and down, and it goes up and down, but it stays in this channel. Now, there's a bunch of reasons why I'm not going to go into this video, but what we can chart, this one is something called a power law. This is not law. This is one idea. It's one of 100 charts that I look at, but it's a good one to pull up here. So this green line I added here is the year 2030. And if you chart it in this band, it will keep going up and down and up and down like this. That's called volatility. Volatility is the difference between perception and reality. We're going to come back to that in a minute. But I charted this. Here's 2030. And what you can see is the upper band, upper section of the band, as it goes up and down, is at $1 million. Okay? So right now today, Bitcoin is somewhere in the $60,000 range. So to go from $60,000 to $1 million, do some math real quick. So this right here is showing that if Bitcoin follows this path, which I can go into why it will, and we hit this upper band in the year 2030, that's a 16 times return on our wealth. I'm talking about only 5Xing. This is 16 times. Even if it hits the low end right here, we're still over that number. But that's only just a drop in the bucket. Hang on. So we understand that with Bitcoin, but remember, it's a cluster of technologies. Now, the last time we saw a cycle, a quantum leap cycle like this, was in the 1970s with the birth of the microprocessor, 1971 to be exact, the Intel microprocessor. And what we saw in phase one of that cycle, Intel went up by 23 times. 23 times, not five, 23. But everybody here, after this whole phase one cycle, they're like, oh man, I missed my chance. Why didn't I buy Intel? I wish I could get a do-over, blah, blah, blah. You hear it all the time. But what they failed to realize, as they sat on the sidelines, is that Intel went up another 26 times in the second phase. That's how these things work, 26 times. I'm only saying five. I'm being conservative here. But let's dig in a little bit more, because here's where it gets better. What really happens in phase two, and why Intel went up by so much, is Bitcoin is one of the core assets, as I showed you, potentially 16 times in front of us. However, derivatives off of Bitcoin, what I kind of call Bitcoin 2.0, these are ways to build, play into the Bitcoin industry, not specifically the asset itself, like MicroStrategy. MicroStrategy is building on a Bitcoin platform. And what we can see since January of 2023, MicroStrategy stock has beat Bitcoin by 2x, 200%. So if Bitcoin does 16 times and derivatives like MicroStrategy double that, where do you end up? you're kind of getting an idea. Now, we're just talking about one technology, but remember, this is a cluster of technologies. So what about AI? Well, we have one of the best AI proxies is NVIDIA. We can see NVIDIA is up about 30 times. That's pretty interesting. But we know, per all types of studies and reports and graphs and business analysis and whatnot, we have about $15 trillion that's about to come into the industry, and it's expected to do this, the amount of investment that's going into the space, and we can see how fast it's rapidly growing. So if we add $15 trillion and it rapidly scales like this, what do you think happens all to these assets? Yes, 5X starts to seem actually pretty conservative. So now that we've covered why only 5 years left and how 5X is actually pretty conservative, let's talk about the five steps that you need to do to get ready for this. Okay, the first one is that, first off, I know this sounds new stuff, you don't like this, but yes, bet on yourself before any asset class. Bet on yourself first. I like to say that the risk is in the investor, not the investment. What do I mean by that? If someone said, hey, Mark, I see you're a surfer, you're out there all the time. What's the best wave I should surf? Well, pipeline in Hawaii, that's probably the best wave. But if you've never been in the ocean, you should definitely not go surf there. You'll probably drown. But there's hundreds of people out there every day and they don't drown because they've worked their way up. So we want to bet on yourself first. So you really want to understand this quantum wave thesis that I'm talking about. Again, you might call it a K wave, a conjointive wave, if you want to go do your own research on this. And you can see that there's books written, there's all types of research done. I've done probably a dozen videos on this. And you can see how these technology cycles roll out in a very dependable, predictable cycle, and how all the wealth is made in there. So one, figure this thesis out. Again, I talk about it all the time. So just subscribe to the channel if you're not already subscribed. Number two, now that you understand what's going on and you understand the roadmap, two, align your investments with your purpose, not just profit, okay? And what do I mean by that? You hear me say all the time that we should build the world that we want, right? And so I want to invest my money into things that are building this world that I would like. So for example, I would like a world where the Federal Reserve doesn't print trillions of dollars and steal wealth from us through inflation. I would like that. I would like for my money to buy me more things in the future and not less. I would like that. I would also like a lot of technology that makes my life easier so I work less and less. I would like that as well. So then I invest my money into those things to get me more of what I want. You know what I don't want more of? Pharmaceuticals. I don't like big pharma. Why would I put any money into a biotech fund, for example, right? So put your money into where you want. And what you want to do is make a list of all the assets that you want to see happen in this technology boom, in this quantum leap. Put those on your watch list so you know what to buy when the time comes right. All right, then we want to decide what our allocation to this quantum leap portfolio is. Now, I say not 100%. And so part of the reason why I said we can 5X our wealth is because I don't plan to put every single penny of every asset that I own in the world into this. So while I fully expect this part of my portfolio to 20 or 30X, all of my wealth is not going into it. So while this portfolio goes up 20 or 30X, my total net worth may only go up by 5 or 6. Does that make sense? And so what we want to do is forget everything that you've learned, it's all wrong. Forget a 60-40 portfolio. Forget a diversified portfolio, going through 20, 30, 40 investments. Forget that. Do what Warren Buffett calls the deal box. I know this is where the sweet spot is, and this is where I'm going to invest only in the deal box that I know and understand. These assets are going to outperform everything else. Why would I diversify into those other assets? Now, you might ask, well, Mark, you just said you're not putting 100% in. What else are you putting into? Well, I own lots of real estate. I own trophy assets, beachfront properties, things that I use, a ranch property in Austin, things like that. I own businesses. And so I'm not going to liquidate my beachfront properties and my businesses and put it all into this portfolio. Does that make sense? Okay, but I am not going to be buying into a diversified ETF portfolio of biotech stocks. Now, step number four, use volatility as leverage, not danger. You see, the number one thing people say about Bitcoin is it's too volatile. We call that a feature, not a bug. And so we want to use it as leverage, not danger. So everyone's afraid of this, but we want to welcome it. Why? Because I call volatility the difference of perception and reality. You see, in that chart I showed you, Bitcoin's growth and adoption has continued like this. But what happens is the market gets too far in front of itself. Oh my God, everyone's going to use it. It's going to change the world. And then it sells off. Oh, it's never going to take off. It'll never do anything. And then it goes, oh my gosh, look, it's changing the world. El Salvador bought it. And then, oh my gosh, it's never going to do anything. But meanwhile, reality keeps chugging along. We can say the same about any other asset. As I said, I'm a VC investor. Let's look at Uber. If Uber was publicly traded for the first 10 years, oh, this city banned it. It crashes down. Oh, now they got into San Francisco. It goes up. Oh, look, Dallas just banned Uber. It goes down. Oh, look, now they're in whatever, right? And you can see how it's volatile based off of perception of reality. In the meanwhile, the technology keeps on going. All right. And then finally, step number 5 is invest 10% into learning, not just assets. And this kind of goes back to the first one that I said, which is invest into ourselves first. So take some of your money and invest into ways that you can learn. For example, just last week, I joined a mastermind program because I'm trying to learn some new things for my business. I paid $30,000 to join this for 1 year. The reason why I did that is, one, I hope to get new information that I can use to make more money. Number 2, because I want to build my network out. So I hope to meet a lot of other people that can afford that in this group, and I can network and do business with them. And so we invest into learning, not just assets. And the reason why I like this the best overall is because regardless of whatever happens with the market and whatever happens with the economy, you can't lose. You can't lose with this investment, which would be a good time to tell you again, if you want to learn more about this, there's a way you can do it without even having to spend money. And that's just come to my free live presentation next week, where I'll break down this entire quantum wave cycle, including the assets that I'm buying and you might want to buy during that cycle. I said, it's all free. You can hang out. We're going to do live Q&A, so you can ask me any questions you want. There's a link down below if you want to come join me. Again, I'd recommend that small investment of your time. Now, I want to tell you that we need to move right now. Why do we want to move right now? Well, because we have this huge cycle that's happening right now. Now, we have about 5 years left. We have, in this cycle, we have about 12 months left, and then we're probably going to have a pretty turbulent year. And then we have 4 more good years. So we want to make as much money as we can right here. We want to be prepared for this volatility. What do we do with the volatility? We get scared? No. We use it to our advantage. That means I'm buying more all right here, so then I can ride it up. So I'm building here. I'm buying aggressively here, and I ride it up. What happens here? I don't know. But I'm going to have made so much money that it won't matter what happens there. I'm going to be taken care of. I don't know about you, but if you get on board with this, you're going to be okay too. We don't know what's on the other side of this. That's the question mark. Yes, I think a 20-50x is possible. I told you I did that already in my portfolio. I showed you other examples of how that's done. The reason why I'm only saying 5 is, again, because it's only a percentage of my portfolio I'm putting into this. And then ultimately, yes, invest in your own education. You need to understand this. You have to be paying attention to it. Watch YouTube videos, listen to podcasts, read books, and listen to the pay-by-play. If you're not already subscribed, hit that subscribe button. But this is exactly what's happening. These are the 5 years you have to 5x your portfolio in 5 simple steps. Let me know what you think. Give me a thumbs up if you like the video. If you don't, you can give me a thumbs down. That's okay. At least tell me why in the comments down below, of course. And if you're not already subscribed, you're missing out. So hit that subscribe button. And if you want to know more about this cycle and what I call the investing black hole, you probably want to watch this video right here. That's what I got. To your success. I'm out.